We're about to begin not just a new sugya, but a whole new series of sugyas. The Gemara begins on the Ches of the Days, Tana Rabbanan, Kanvach. The following four sukkahs are acceptable: Sukkah Goyim, Sukkah Noshim, Sukkah Behema, Sukkah Kusim, Sukkah Bekomachom Ksher. All the above sukkahs, whether they were made by Goyim, they were made by women, they were made for the purposes of animals, they were made by Kusim, who are quasi like Goyim. Any of the above, the sukkahs are Ksherah. Provided that the sukkahs are the schach, the sukkahs made properly, following the regular guidelines of the sukkah. So obviously the point of the Braisa is to highlight the fact that even though these types of sukkahs are not quite up to par, what exactly is not up to par for them? I'm just going to explain a little bit more what exactly would have been the potential chisarah, but whatever it was, the Maisa is not true, that these sukkahs are still acceptable, but the Braisa concludes, just make sure that the Mesuchachas Kehilchasa. So the Gemara asks the obvious Kasha and Lush and Braisa, and Mike Kehilchasa. What in the world does that mean? It means the simple reading of the Braisa sounds like the Braisa is insisting that you better make sure that it's Tzilsimul Mechamsa. And you better make sure that it's not more than 20 Amos. And you better make sure that it's more than 10 Tvachim. You better make sure that the Schach is not Damakam Tumah. So, why in the world would this be any different than any other Sukkah? So obviously that phrase of the Braisa is coming to teach us, coming to include something else. So what is it coming to teach us? Michael Chasa Amr Chizda, Fusha Sol Etzel Sukkah. That's a code phrase. Chachas Kilchasa really is teaching me that it has to be the Torah Tzel Sukkah. That's the punch on the Braisa. And I wouldn't have known that. Kamash on the Braisa, that's true. What in the world does that mean, L'shem Tzel Sukkah? There's a major machlekes in the Rishonim. Different understandings to be shown him what exactly that terminology is all about. So Rashi on this spot was a good place to start. So Rashi writes that Amr of Chizda, Haike Hilchas Adik Omar, Hushim Tzucheches Yofa, you have to put on a nice geshmak amount of schach there, above and beyond with the regular standards. The regular standards are just simply, you know, Tzilsim Mechamsa, and that's it. I was reading recently that somebody asked Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the Rav's father, what's the source for the din that you need Tzilsim Mechamsa? Do we know the source? The Mishnah. He says, how does Chazal figure out there's a din of Tzilsim Mechamsa? Then when we first learned the Sugya in the Beis, we mentioned that it doesn't seem for the Gemara that's Halacha Moshe Sinai. And the Rashi says, based on Rav, right? The Mirah's Botel. It doesn't sound like there was any pure Halacha Moshe Sinai called Tzilsim Mechamsa. So Vishtei Menoni Mirah, there's such a din. So they say that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, when he was asked that question, he opened up a chumash and he pointed to the word sukkah in the Torah. The Torah says, "Bas sukkah steishvu." You have to sit in the sukkah. Zok to Rav Moshe Brisker, he says, "Doesn't nishkin sukkah?" He says, "That's not a sukkah. A sukkah means tzel. That's the definition of a sukkah. So if you have chamsa or mitzilsa, you don't have tzel there. If you don't have tzel there, it's sukkah." So he said, "I don't need halach moshe mitzina to tell me that it's no good. I need halach moshe mitzina to tell me that the tzel has to be made dafka with something which is sadas going biyakiv. I need a special dinim to tell me it can't be more than 20 amos. I need dinim to tell me X, Y, and Z. But to tell me that you have to have tzel in the first place," he says, "but I don't need a halach moshe mitzina. That's pshat l'pasim chumash." So when I read that story, so I thought that was the briskas l'shitosam, because that was the same answer that Reb Chaim gave when they challenged Reb Chaim. They asked Reb Chaim, "How do you know that an esrog hamorkov is possible? Vishtate in the Torah, you can't use a grafted esrog." So it's a strange thing because the Gemara never mentions anything about a grafted esrog. The Rishonim talk about it, and the Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk about it. Nobody talks about a grafted esrog. So the Achronim go to town. Everybody knows a grafted. Every kid knows. It says on the esrog on the boxes. It says, Cheskas b'li murkov, according to the Chazon Ish, according to everyone, that's what you're paying for someone to testify that it's not murkov. How would you ever figure out it's not murkov? There's no other way to figure it out unless you have a mesorah. The Achronim come up with different etzes, different botany rules. If you open up the esrog and you see the seeds are planted this way, they're pointing this way, that those are simon, and those are potential indications that the esrog may or may not be murkov. So the poskim right, you can't rely on those simonim because we're not even 100% sure those simonim are correct. But there's a worse reason why you can't rely on those simonim, because you're going to cut up your esrog, so then you're not going to have an esrog anymore. You have a more serious problem. So those simonim are not so great. So therefore, our meaning is we don't rely on those simonim unless you can figure out a way how to rely on. If you really think the simonim work, is there a way to do the the simanim, drawing the simanim without cutting apart the esrog. Here is a way. How do you do it? That's one way, okay. But if you don't want to spend money on one of the esrog, you do an MRI of the esrog. So you do an X-ray of the esrog. You take a picture of the inside of the esrog. So if you see the way, if you really believe, if you don't believe the simanim mean anything, if you're nervous, the simanim are not indicative, so it doesn't show anything. If you really believe the simanim work, they can take a picture of the esrog. So Kachaba, so I had a fellow who's a radiologist, was in my area one time. So he sent me once before Sukkot that he took an X-ray, an MRI, and a CAT scan. And so he showed me a whole printout of the pictures, and he made it into a beautiful beautiful decoration for the sukkah. So he should hang up in the sukkah a picture of the insides of the kishkas of the esrog. I thought it was a very funny. It wasn't so pretty. So I don't know, I didn't hang it up my sukkah, but I was very fascinated by the idea. Anyway, so get back. So they asked Reb Chaim, how do you know that esrog mukhr is possible? So some achrayim say it's a mitzvah b'aveira because you're not allowed to grow trees. Another achrayim say it's like an esrog achoser because part of the esrog is missing because it's half lemon. So Reb Chaim said, what do you have to look for reasons for? He says, you know what the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say an esrog mukhr is possible? Asked Reb Chaim, does the Shulchan Aruch say that an apple is possible? Does the Shulchan Aruch say that a banana is possible? I said the Shulchan Aruch quotes that you have to take an esrog. So if it's not an esrog, it's muvan me'elov that it's not kosher. So it's up to Chaim, when you have a grafted esrog, what you have is a new fruit. It's called an esrog / lemon. That's not an esrog. Said an esrog means an esrog. You can't be yaitzeh with a lemon. You can't be yaitzeh with half a lemon. A half a lemon is not an esrog anymore. So he said, what's the shaila? You don't need a gemara. You don't need a rishon. You need a Shulchan Aruch to tell you. It's just as posher as you can't be yaitzeh with a banana. I remember years ago, I used to go shopping for Rabbi Simon. In the old days, when we lived in the Heights still. So we used to go right after Yom Kippur, we'd go down to Brooklyn, we'd look around for a Sregim together. So, sometimes they sell the Moroccan Sregims. Slightly different than the Eretz Yisrael Sregim. So some people like the Moroccan Sregim, some people don't like the Moroccan Sregim. So I remember Rabbi Simon was telling me once that one of the Rebbes, I think it was the Kleisenberg, if I'm not mistaken, said that you can't be yaitze with a Moroccan esrog. He said, why? He gave a moshe. He said that, I don't want to be telling, maybe it wasn't the Kleisenberg, but one of the rabbis said that you can't be yaitze with a Moroccan esrog. You know why? He gave a moshe. It's like being yaitze with a banana. He says, Mishkan esrog. It's not an esrog. He said, it's a banana. It's not an esrog. Like Reb Chaim. It's not a Hasidic shatar, like the brisketar. It's not an esrog. So I remember at the time, Rabbi Simon was very, very tomea on this psach. He said, and what did they do in Morocco? He said, and what did the refuse? He didn't use a Moroccan esrog. He lived in Morocco. The different Jews lived in Morocco for 2,000 years. What were they using? Of course they used Moroccan esrog. So how can you say it's a banana? Whether you want to support Eretz Yisrael, you want to support the agriculture industry in Eretz Yisrael, it's a beautiful, wonderful thing. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that it's a bizoyan to use non-Eretz Yisrael dikas regim. He thinks it's a big bizoyan of Eretz Yisrael. Here, Rav Hashem gives you a mitzvah to do it peiros, and you go ahead and you pick a fruit that grew in Morocco rather than Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Shulchan didn't like the practice of buying non-Eretz Yisrael as regim. So, okay. So, but he pro the Medina, hint the Medina, whatever your position is on Medina Yisrael, that's a different story. But to say that the non-Eretz Yisrael regim are bananas, that's very, very hard to say. You want to say a morkev is a banana, that could be. So what does that have to do with us? Back to Sukkah. It's just a motion, just a digression. So back to Sukkah. So Sukkah has to be a shame Sukkah on it. So that's what Rashi here tells you, that going back to the Chesem and Beis, Rashi says that Muzuchach is Yafa. The Mucha Milsa Shas Yasa Rishon Letzel Haisa. Flow Tzvias Biyama. A regular sukkah, so as long as it's still Sefer Michamsa, you're okay. But a sukkah that was made for animals, it was made by the goyim, made by the women, made for other reasons potentially, so one has to be very, very weary that maybe it wasn't made the shem tzel. And if it wasn't made the shem tzel, that's a problem. If it was made just the tznius b'yama. There are different reasons why you would make a booth in the middle of the field. Either you'd make a booth and you put some schach on it to protect yourself from the sun, from the elements, that's good, that's a good sukkah. And sometimes you would just put some schach on top because you don't want people to peek in. You don't want a guy to stand on a ladder and look in and see what you're doing inside your hut. You don't want to see you taking a nap. Like sometimes some people have, you know, they don't want to know what they're doing in the office. So they put some paper in the office. Maybe they're taking a nap in the office. Maybe they're eating lunch in the office. Who knows what they're doing? I don't know if they're doing their exercise. I don't know if people do a lot of different things in the office. So they don't want the whole world to know. So that's what Rashi says, that sometimes a person covers up a little bit on top of the sukkah, just out near Spi Alma. So Rashi says that would not be good. So we want to be certain that that's not what's happening here. That would be a bad sukkah. So in order to make sure, how are we going to find out? The Goyim built us a sukkah. 6 months ago, a Goyim built a sukkah. How are you going to know? The Goyim doesn't remember why he built it. He's not even around anymore. We find the sukkah that was made for the babies. In the middle of the Bronx Zoo, we find there's some bamboo on top of something. How do you know what it was made for? Maybe it was made with tzel. Maybe it was made with tznius. So Rashi says the way to determine is that mistoma, if it has a lot of schach on it, so that was probably for tzel. If it was just for tznius, you would have just thrown a couple of branches on. Rashi says that vlotius biyama. So now Rashi asks a more powerful question. So we've just ascertained by looking at the quantity of schach, we can ascertain what the kavanah was. In fact, Rashi Akasha on himself, what's the kasha? Who cares what the kavanah was? Mach potli, whether the sukkah was made, l'shem tzel or l'shem tznius. You know, you can tell me you have to make a sukkah l'shem mitzvah. That's what you're going to pull on me. That's stunt. Ayin tesem and aleph, machayu b'shabi, so we didn't even get to it yet. That's the next major, major sugis, hopefully, end of tesem and aleph. But that was b'shabi shita. We call it b'shilil. There's no din of l'shma. This is not tzitzis, it's not tzivetar, it's not tefillin, not mezuzah, it's not a get, it's not matzah. This is sukkah. By sukkah, there never was a din, say b'shilil, of l'shma. So if you don't need a sukkah l'shma, the shem mitzvah, so mach pat, if it was made l'shem tzinias, so Rashi says, no, there's a big difference in Rashi. Rashi is all the afogav the sukkah l'shem chag loy ba'inon. That's basically low. L'shem sukkah ba'inon. You have to build the sukkah l'shem that it should be a sukkah. I didn't say a mitzvah sukkah. So there has to be a chefza from sukkah. What's the definition of a sukkah? U'letzeh u'demikri a sukkah. Shesecheches bin achayrev. The definition of Hashem sukkah. A sukkah is not just a hut in the middle of a field. That's not a sukkah. To be a sukkah, it has to be made for the purpose of protection of shade. That's the key. That's the keveya. And that has nothing to do with the machlokes b'sham b'sil. B'sham b'sil have a machlokes about when you build the sukkah, not for the religious, ritualistic reason of being yaitzeh in the midst of sukkah. So a sukkah like matzah, get, etc., it has to be done l'shma, or a sukkah like shofar, lulav, other kinds of mitzvahs that don't have to be constructed l'shma. And we pass b'sil, there's no need to construct the sukkah l'shma. The Shem mitzvah is not necessary, but if you make it shlo l'shem tzel, this is oy sukkah. That's not considered to be a sukkah b'chlal. So therefore, since there's a pre-existing din, this is the din in the Torah, it's not called the sukkah, it's not made l'shem tzel. Therefore, Rashi says that unless you can be certain that it was made l'shem tzel, and the barometer to measure that is the amount of schach that's there, then you have to be concerned lest the sukkah be possible in the Torah. And that's what the Brisa, that's what Chizda meant when he said, v'shat tzel l'tzel sukkah. So the key word in Rav Chisda's phrase, l'tzel sukkah, is really both words, l'tzel sukkah. It means tzel is the definition, it's not a synonym with sukkah. The key is u'shasol l'tzel. That's really the punchline according to Rav Chisda. There were other Rishonim who disagreed with Rashi. They may disagree with Rashi in the halacha, or they may disagree with Rashi in terms of pshat in the Gemara. So we don't have this Tosfos, but the Rash quotes from the Rabbeinu Tam a different understanding of what v'shatzol l'tzel sukkah means. What's the condition Rav Chisda is throwing at us into this sukkah ganvach? Zokter ben Tam, mamish 180 degree opposite in Rashi. The Amet quotes in Rashi's pshat. According to Rashi, we're looking to pile on the schach really thick. That's what we want. We want to really, really. We walk into the fields and we see that some guy built a sukkah for his animals. So we're going up there to measure how much schach is up there. Usually we measure 51% and we're good to go. Here you got to get 75, 80, 90%. You got to get really, really high to make sure that we've passed the barometer, we've passed the test of the l'shem tzel. Zokter ben Tam, Rav Chisda telling us the opposite. He said, don't put too much schach on there, says Rav ben Tam. That's Rav Chisda saying, don't overdo it on the schach. You know why? Because if you overdo it on the schach, what may happen, says Rav ben Tam? If you have too much schach, that's a problem. Why is that a problem? Because what's not going to happen? It's not going to rain. Now, usually when people build their sukkahs for their animals, some things they talk, I may want to do that. Why do I want my animal to get wet? So I'm going to pile up a lot of schach. So that's what Rav Chisda is saying. No, don't do that. Because there's a pre-existing din hilchos sukkah called a sukkah that can't be penetrated by the rain. is not a sukkah. So therefore, be careful, says Rav Chisda, not to overdo the schach. So according to Rashi, Rav Chisda is saying, don't underdo the schach. That's the word. According to Rabbeinu Tam, he's saying, don't overdo the schach. How did Rabbeinu Tam see that in the words of Rav Chisda, which shall sell a tzel sukkah? So the word tzel is not really the key over here. The key really is almost like the word sukkah. It means just make it sukkah standards. Don't make it, what else? Almost like bias standards, because too much rain is almost max of a bias standards. That's Rabbeinu Tam's version. So the question is, what are the parameters of this statement of Rabbeinu Tam? This is not the first time we bumped into Rabbeinu Tam. We spoke about Rabbeinu Tam way, way back on the Beis in the sugya of Sukkah L'malam Yesirim. We mentioned, we referenced already Rabbeinu Tam, but this is where the Rosh presents Rabbeinu Tam. So the question is, what did Rabbeinu Tam say, and what did Rabbeinu Tam not say? So it depends. We have very, very little, very cryptic line of Rabbeinu Tam. And we're not quite sure what he did or did not say. So comes the Taz, and is the first one to start, not the first one chronologically, the first one we're going to talk about, starts to chisel away at Rabbeinu Tam. It says Rabbeinu Tam's chiddush, that we have no reason to believe that any other Rishon learned Pshat in the Gemara like this. Rashi for sure didn't learn Pshat in the Gemara like this. Says the Taz, I don't think Rabbeinu Tam meant all that much in his statement. And quite frankly, says the Taz, I don't believe that there's anything wrong with this sukkah on the level of Deraisa. So it can't rain into the sukkah. Whoop-de-doo. That's a great idea. Build a sukkah that's tachan, not penetrated by the rain. What's wrong? Show me the psul. I want to see the psul. The sukkah is more than 10 tvachim, less than 20 amos, more than 7 by 7. It's chach is psul is garen v'yekiv. Tell me what's wrong. Is it can't rain in the sukkah? V'shtet. Ask Reb Chaim, V'shtet. Where does it say that it can't rain into the sukkah? How did Reb Chisda know it can't rain into the sukkah? It has to be able to potentially rain into the sukkah. Based on what? Based on who? Says the Taz, I don't believe it's a real psul deraisa. I can't. There's no marker for it. Why do you think Chazal made a gezeira? They nothing better to do? So some days between the days of Moshe Rabbeinu and this Braisa, decided to get together back at the Lishta Gazas from yesterday, and they're sitting and thinking through and evaluating, should we make this gezeira or not? So half the Chachamim are saying, it's a great gezeira. And the other half are saying, for what reason? Please explain to us, what are you concerned with? So what was the response? What are we concerned with? Something can go wrong. If the sukkah is too thick, if the schach is too thick, the next thing you know is, what's the guy going to do? He's going to do what? He's going to live in his house. He's going to look at the roof and he's going to say, oh, the right roof. I have a wooden roof. Psul is going to be yakev. Now that's for sure no good min haTorah. Why is that for sure no good? The guy's been living in the house for the last 20 years. Why is that for sure no good? So obviously there has to be at some point where your sukkah is a sukkah and your bias is a bias. We know that a bias and sukkah are not the same thing. How do we know that? The Pasha is Vahishlach. How do we know that? Right? Yaakov builds a bias, then it says, Mekneo asa sukkos. Even though bias, obviously a sukkah is not a bias is not a sukkah. So, Dr. Ben Tam, the image of a real bias, that's for sure possible in a Torah, because that's just not. That Reb Chaim would say, that Reb Moshe would say, that's not called a sukkah. The fact that you built a hut for 7 days and you decide to pile on this chach so thick because you don't want to get wet. So that, the Taz says, that's not a din min haTorah. What's wrong with that sukkah min haTorah? It's a problem in the Rabban. It's a gezeira to bias. And we'll see as the sukkah goes on, hopefully this is not the first, not the last time we see such a gezeira in Chazal. Chazal were attuned to this concern. So the stomach, that's what Rabbeinu Tam then says the Taz. It was a gezeira of Tobias. But min haTorah, there's nothing wrong with it. What is the Taz marviach with the shtickle Torah? What forced the Taz to say that? Because the Taz was fiddling through Masechah Sukkah, and he found some sukkahs in there that probably can keep the rain out. How did the Taz know which sukkahs keep the rain out, which not? I learned Masechah Sukkah also, but I don't know anything about construction, so I wouldn't have a clue. But the Taz knew a little bit more about the real world than I do, at least the real world of the 1500s in Eastern Europe than I do. And he says, it's a famous Mishnah, hachayte pewat, hachayte pegodish, a famous Mishnah. A guy's got a big pile of hay. There's a big pile of hay. Wow, loads and loads of hay over here. Okay? So he realizes there's sukkahs. His wife tells him, can you build us a sukkah? So Yanko's too busy learning. He finished doing Tshuva Yom Kippur. He's writing poetry. It's the days in Yom Kippur and Sukkot. The Chassam Sofer is writing poetry to the Rebbe. It's Givaldik. He's bought a lulav and esrog. His wife said, Yanko's, it's an hour before Shkia. You build a Sukkah. So last year he built the Shtayim Kirchas on Shlishi Tefillah of Tevach, and his wife got upset. So this year he's going to outdo himself. He says, I don't have to waste my time building a sukkah for. He says, I have this big pile of hay in the backyard. I'll go out, I'll get a shovel, and just shovel out a little bit, Zion by Zion, I'll shovel out a little bit of the hay, up to 7 tvachim, and 10 tvachim, and shine my Israel. We'll go into the sukkah, we'll invite up Ravina in, we'll sing some Givaldik. What's the problem? So his wife screams at him, Yankel, you forgot the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? Achaitet begodish is what? It's no good. Why is it no good? Because of Tassel Melosuig. You didn't put Tzchach down there. The hay was there. The hay is so it's going to be active. So hay is kosher for Tzchach. And you have 10 Tzvach, you have 7, you have everything going for you, but your Sukkah came about indirectly. Your Sukkah came about Derech Tassel Melosuig, the Sukkah's Psalm in the Torah. But the Gemara does qualify this a little bit later on. The first bracket says there is a way to build a sukkah even like they gechaited begadish. How can you do that? It's a very, very strange dim. The Gemara says that let's say it's full of hay, but not quite full of hay. When you originally put the hay on, there was a little bit. How much? Very, very small amount of empty space. How much empty space? A tefach. Tefach. What does a tefach mean? When I put the hay on originally, the hay was serving as an oil. Because we know, that what's the bare bone minimum definition of an oil? We learned this already. Who remembers? Tefach by tefach, right? Where was that halacha Moshe Sinai given? In Ilchus Tumah. We know, those of the Masechta Shabbos of us may remember, that halacha Moshe Sinai in Ilchus Tumah may very well extend to Shabbos also. We got to be the Malach of Asiyas Oil of Boina, right? Remember we talked about this Barichos back in the Shabbos Shiurim. So the Shir Tefach is not just the Din Prati in Tuma; it impacts on the Shem Oil as well. So Kum to Gemara, but Chiddush, I wouldn't have said this, but Chazal say that when you build a sukkah, when I put the hay into place over here, if the hay is serving as an oil, it's not directly onto the ground. It's suspended a little bit, so it's already being chal on the Shem Oil. Even though what? It's a big chiddush. Why? It's being chal on the hay of Shem Oil, but it's not being chal on the hay of what? A shem. It's not a sukkah. Why is it not a sukkah? Because the Shia sukkah is, well, I'm talking about height. It's 10 tefachim, right? So the sukkah, the hay is only suspended one tefach off the ground. So to be chalon Hashem sukkah didn't have, but it's chalon Hashem oil. So I did an asiyas oil. So now the Gemara says, what I could do is an erev sukkah. My wife screaming at me. I could go ahead and erase the rest of it, and that's okay. Why? The Gemara said, unbelievable chiddush. Because true, I did a quote unquote tasev lomen osui, but my tasev lomen osui only related to which part of the sukkah? To the What did I do when I raised the level, raised the bar? What did I do? I made the defunos derech tasav lomen asui, and that doesn't concern me at all because all the dinim of asiyas sukkah are only chal on the schach, not the defunos. Remember Rabbi Yosha? We don't follow Rabbi Yosha. The din of taseh, the same way that psoel is going viyekiv, isn't chal on defunos. The din of tasav lomen asui is not chal on the defunos either. It's only a din in the schach. So what the Gemara is saying, an unbelievable word here. You have to really think this through. The shear of 10 tefachim of a sukkah is not a din in what? It's not a din in schach. Schach has a shame schach, even less than 10 tefachim. Schach is kosher schach. What's the minimum shear of schach? Lo yitzui, there was no din of the funas, so the shame schach would be chal and one tefach, because all schach has to do is create a ceiling. Schach has to be the roof. Schach has to have a shame oil. Well, what's the shear oil in Kol Tarakula? One tefach. So that din of oil, the shear of a tefach, is chal and hilchas sukkah as well. So when I built, when I placed the gadish there, I placed the hay there, as long as it was suspended off the ground, the tefach, I did a pu'ulas agavra, I did a maisa agavra of an asiyas haschach. And to fulfill the conditions of tasla menasi, that's sufficient. Elo, what? The sukkah's psula, because it doesn't have the funas. So now, I go ahead and I make the funnels. I give out kishrigim, but I made the funnels derech tasavun also. So what? The funnels can be made out of bricks also. So all curve yechad doesn't apply to the funnels. Tasavun also doesn't apply to the funnels either. So inside, the big chiddush. How do you know this, by the way? How does the Gemara know this? That the Shia ten tefachim was a din in the defunas. Maybe the din ten tefachim was a din in the schach itself. How did the Gemara know this? No, those did it were true, but how did Chazal figure this out? That the Shia ten tefachim is not a Shia in the Shem schach. Right, so that's tends to point to that direction, but even one step more. What's the halacha of ten tefachim? It's halacha b'sina. Which halacha mashu b'sina is it? Mechitza is a halacha mashu b'sina. The Gemara says, what's licked in the mechitza halacha mashu b'sina? Lavud, takuma, kurasik, and the shia ten tefachim. At least according to one Tana in the Gemara. So according to the Tana in the Gemara, that Nichlal in the whole Shia was derived from Parshas Mechitzas. It was Nichlal to Moshe Rabbeinu the same day Moshe Rabbeinu was taught the Din of Lachud. He was taught the Din of Ten Tvachim. So is that clear? You see clear from here that the Shia Ten Tvachim was a Shia in Mechitzas, not a Shia in the Schach. And therefore, Tasla Menasi doesn't concern me. Good, very nice. So you just learned the Seir Chet V'God, it's beautiful. So Kum the Taz and says, I went to my backyard, says the Taz, and I tried to see how much rain gets into the Gaddish, and I came to the realization, nothing. It doesn't rain into the Gaddish, Dr. Taz. Abazoy, it doesn't rain into the Gaddish, so I have a problem according to Rabbeinu Tam. The Sukkah should be puzzled out rain, out inability to rain through. The Gemara is pilpuling about Tassel and Ossi. And the Gemara is telling you can circumvent Tassel and Ossi as long as you built a little bit of a Shia Tefach. Tepuk Le, you have a problem, much more serious problem. You have an all-encompassing problem. You can't rain in, says the Taz. So I wouldn't have asked this kasha because I would have thought Hakamaskin can rain in, but I believe the Taz. He checked out, doesn't rain. So what's the answer, says the Taz? The answer is there never was a psul of a sukkah that's not penetrable by the rain. There's no such din. Minat Torah doesn't have to rain, doesn't have to be able to rain to the sukkah to be kosher. It's a gzeira derabanan atubayas, zok the Taz. But Medivah Mamurim Chazal made the gzeira derabanan on something that has a fighting chance to be accused with a house. When was the last time you lived inside a Gaddish? A Gaddish looks like a house. That's why the wife's screaming at the husband, this is my sukkah. I invited my parents for Yontif and you put us into a Gaddish. I said, what kind of house is that? So the Taz says, Al Korachok, from the fact that Chazal don't address the issue of the rain not coming through, Zem Fendon, it doesn't bother me the rain. If the rain can't come through as a din derais, it would be a problem by a Gaddish also. From the fact that Chazal don't even mention it as a red flag, it doesn't apply because it's only a din derabanan, and the din derabanan only applies when the gzera makes a half a bit of sense, and it doesn't make any sense over here. So it wasn't a low plug gzera. That's the Taz's raya. So Rabbi Sai, the Bechiris Kov, the Helik Taz, the Rishonim who definitely did not learn this Pran Rabbeinu Tam. Which Rishon did not learn this Pran Rabbeinu Tam? Which Rishon, hands down, understood that Rabbeinu Tam meant it as a real, real thing, a real din deraisa? Which great Rishon? Think back, Rabbi Say. When was the first time we were introduced to Rabbeinu Tam? Back at the base. Remember the times back at the base. Chazar for a second. With Chazar. The Gemara said on the base that the din of keva, that passes a sukkah of above 20 amis, frekta bai to Rav Kasha. No, what was the Kasha? No, Chazar. What was the base Kasha? Imkain, mechitza shel barzo should be possible. Which Rava said, no, that's different because something, right? And kachnem ralach only in the shear, not in the mitzias, right? Not in the mitzias, the building materials. We just spoke about this yesterday, right? Remember, we had the Ran and the Ritva and the Ran. Everyone had what to say about this. How in the world did Chazal figure out, how did Rav know Abai's kasha, such a good kasha? I don't know what Rav's teretz was. So we couldn't pinpoint exactly. Every Rishon under the Ran had his Yefshir story we spoke about yesterday. Others had other pshatim. But at the end of the day, Rav's words stand that the din of keva is not a poisel in the etzem asiyas sukkah. All it is a requirement of a shear. It disqualifies a sukkah that's built according to the shear of keva, but not the mitzias keva. So then Tosis got into trouble. What was Tosis' problem? Who remembers? Tosis back in the Bezim and Aleph. In fact, there's a kasha on themselves. What? If so, based on what we just said, you're going to tell me that if I build a build a sukkah with this schach of keva, based on what I just said, it should be okay. And Tosfos says that's impossible. Why is that impossible? Tosfos says because the Gemara says in Tanis Abayis that when it rains on sukkah sibin klala, implying that it's got to be able to potentially rain into your sukkah, because if you could lu yitzu, you could build the sukkah that it's going to be rain free. So then, what's the siman klala? Just build such a sukkah. So Tosfos licked in that sugya Titus the base, licked in that marshal of a siman klala b'chag, is the understanding that a sukkah that's not potentially penetrated by the rain has got to be possible. That's what Tosfos said. So Tosfos got all bent out of shape and said, "Gevalt, gevalt, gevalt, gevalt. Why is that? Why is that? We just got finished telling you that keva is not really a poisel. Keva just requires that the shear be a non-keva, but it's not really a poisel. It's a masukah. So what did Tosfos answer? If the chaim yakusha, Tosfos gave a very difficult test. What did Tosfos say? Shiny what from what? Schach from the funnest. Says Tosfos, in Hilchas the funnest, so the criteria of keva only address the shear. In Hilchas schach, the criteria of keva affect the etzem material as well. And if you built a sukkah with schach that's keva, that's worse than building a sukkah with the funnest that's keva. I mean, between you and me, did we really understand the Tosfos? I mean, we read it, we may believe, we understood it, but in our heart of hearts, did we really understand the Tosfos? Not really. I mean, I don't understand, but I stay in the Heilige Tosfos. But you could tell from Tosfos themselves that they were nervous about this Torah. They knew that someone's going to come 1,000 years later and say, we don't understand it. We see that Tosfos weren't so comfortable with the pshat. How do I know? Because they dance around the pshat a little bit on that base. Look at the way they're back at that base. V'im Tiber. The cave in the Lechashin Nelech Shtei Re'ui La Saisa Aroi. The bottom Tosfos. Middle Tosfos. V'yav V'shir Osta Keva. In Kena Mai Oma G'sham Sim Klol Al-Chag. Yochad G'vanes Adesor B'masmeir B'shir Yod G'sham B'sukkah. To which eventually they answer, sorry, tzchach is different. Nehid loch should be the funnest, but the tzchach went nervous. But before they come to this chiluk, which we don't understand, they begin to dance around and say, like, that filu timtzeloimar, when you see that, you know that Tosfos is not comfortable. You see that Balei Tosfos sweating. You see that there's something bothering them. That filu timtzeloimar. They're willing to throw out a possible answer they're going to reject. If it's a few times alarm, it's not going to last very long. But you see that they were bothered enough to present it. The afilu timsalaymar, the awesome mishum gzeiros tikra. Maybe, when the Gemara says that rain in the sukkah is a simin klala, it's not on a diraisa dika level. It's only on a dirabanan dika level, because mid dirabanan you can't build a sukkah that can't be penetrated by the rain, because that's like gzeiros tikra, afraid you're going to mistake it for your house. In that Ephilim Tinsalim, who could be doing the talking? Imagine you're putting yourself back in France, back in the 1100s, and the Balei HaTosfos just posed this question, and one of the Talmidim screaming Ephilim Tinsalim, who do you think that person is? Not really literally, because that person hasn't been born yet, but that's the Taz talking. Again, Taz didn't come into the city history of 1500s, but that must have been the great, great, great grandfather Taz who wrote that. That let's make believe. I feel it's a loymer. That's only a problem with the rabbanon, and that would be great. That would be gevaldik. That would solve akasha. That the funnest and tzchach are really the same, and nothing really matters, and everything is just totally in the shear. Everything's hunky dory. So Tosfos says, sorry, they knocked that terrace down. They say to that ancestor of the Taz, don't say what you're saying. You know why? Because I can't believe it. Says Tosfos. Nah. Because if you're going to tell me that the requirement to keep the sukkah potentially destroyed by rain is only a chumah midirabanan, I wouldn't call that a siman klala b'chag. Who remembers the marshal that we gave for that? Who remembers? What did Tosfos say? Tosfos said that it's a good chazara, they say. Tosfos says, don't tell me that intim celebrity. Don't tell me that Maisel Chantaz, that Rabbeinu Tam only met mid the Rabbanon. Because Chazal would never have called that a Sibin Klola. Why? Because Sibin Klolas don't apply to Dinim Derabbanan. Sibin Klolas are the way the Ribbono Shel Olam runs the weather patterns, the meteorologists are follow deraisas. The weather report is deraisa, not Derabbanan. Shemitah, remember the Moshe? Who remembers the Machlis Isman, the Chazanish? About the Chofetz Chaim water park. Who remembers? No one remembers? Remember the Chofetz Chaim water park? We didn't talk about that. What? We didn't talk about the water park. So, in Loach Shevemes, I talk about it. So, when I was learning in Kerbi Avna, one of the years I was in Kerbi Avna was a Shemitah year. And Kibbutz Chofetz Chaim, about 15, 20 minutes away from Kerbi Avna, they opened up that year a water park. Geschmack. I mean, we went once on a Friday. It's a gavaldic, you know, a Hamish, a Haredi. There's nothing like going down the water slides. It's gavaldic. It's meridic. Why did they build a water park? Very simple. Because they had to be Shemesh Shemitah. From the Frid, the Chazanish was the one who used to supervise the Shemitah issues. Remember? Who remembers when we learned some Shemitah sugyas? There's a famous picture of the Chazanish with his cane poking away at the underground on the vegetables and Kibbutz Chofetz Chaim and in some of these places. So the Kibbutz Chofetz Chaim traditionally always kept Shemitah. So they realized they needed better income. So they decided, we can't plant our crops this year, let's make a water park. And they succeeded beyond their wildest dreams. They kept it open the other 6 years. I think they stopped planting. There's much, the water park for the Haredim on Fridays makes a lot more money than selling seeds. Why? L'kayim ha-shenemar, in modern day application of the Asa Tfuul L'Shlesh HaShonim. The Rebbe Hashem promises you, if you keep Shemitah, you're going to make a lot of money. The Rebbe Hashem very rarely promises that. But for Shemitah, for Asat, for Dora, you can make a lot, you can make more than enough. You can make back all the money and then some. So we all know that every Shemitah year, you open up the magazines, whether it's Mishpacha, Ani, whatever magazines you like to read, and they tell you wonderful stories about this guy was a Chiloni, he never kept anything, but someone convinced him to keep Shemitah, and now he became a multimillionaire. This guy, he never doesn't keep Shabbos, doesn't get nothing, but he decided to keep Shemitah, now he's making billions. Maisim, every magazine has the same stories. So as the Machlek is the Sma and the Chazanish, what are those stories are even true? Why? The Sma writes in Chashimishma, in Simra Prusbo, he writes that the bracha of Asas HaTfula Shlosh HaShonim only applies to Shemitah Deraisa. Doesn't apply to his man, is it? The Basham doesn't assure you that the weather, that the agriculture is going to cooperate because you want to do a mitzvah derabbanan. What does that have to do with the Basham? You do mitzvah derabbanan, ask the rabbis to promise you money. I'm not giving you money, says the Basham. Ask the Beis Din to give you money. And the Chazanish says, no, Mapidon. So who remembers? We explained the Lomdus. What was the Machlokes the Sma and the Chazanish? Our mitzvahs derabbanan, mitzvahs pratiyum aklolium. When I'm yaitse the mitzvah shemitah derabbanan, is that a fulfillment of Shemitah? Or is that I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of Hashem l'chotase? I'm listening to the Beis Din HaGadol. Listening to the Beis Din HaGadol is very important, but it doesn't carry with it a bracha or parnasa. Keeping Shemitah carries with it a bracha or parnasa. So the Sma seemed to understand that the Rabbanan's like, didn't klali him. So I don't get rich because I light Neres Hanukkah. I get rich because I wash the Tulsi Yadayim. The Gemara says you get poor if you don't wash the Tulsi Yadayim. You know, no bracha of getting rich if you wash the Tulsi Yadayim. So that's what the Sma says. There's no bracha, there's no haftacha. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. It's a flip for coin, but there's no haftacha. So according to the Sma, all the articles are Dvar Mitalim. There's no, the whole thing is just coincidental. It happens to be nice that Bansham gave a guy a bracha, but it's not al Shemitah because there's no Shemitah Bizman Azed Deraisa. And the Chazanish says, no. Chazanish says, the Shemitah Bizman Azed, the articles are emes. That it's Shemitah Bizman Azed, the Rabbanah, it's Chal on it, a key amidst of Shemitah, and al Shemitah never the bracha of al Satur. So at the time when we made this Taisus, we pointed out that's what Taisus is driving at also. Taisus is saying that if you hold that this sukkah is only possible because of some problem with the Rabbanan, that's not going to impact on the meteorological reports. The weather reports, the Kechas HaTeva follow the Dinim Derais. They don't follow the Dinim Derabbanan. So Tosfos had the Yom Tov Loimar. They thought Ken Zayin, it's Efshir Loimar, that the sukkah, the requirement for Rabbeinu Tam is only a Derabbanan, like Allah Tetaz 400 years later. But Tosfos immediately shot it down. He said it's not true. So, of course, you see from Taz, against the Taz. The Taz is entitled to his opinion, but it's against the Taz. Taz befeirish the base that Rabbeinu Tam said it, mamash on the love of Deraisa. Aye, the Taz has arrived from Chodesh Begodesh. What would Taz say, Gevalt, about the Chodesh Begodesh? What would Taz say? What? The rain comes through. Machlaik is Taz in the Taz. Does rain come through a Godesh or not? I don't know whether rain comes through a Godesh. I don't even know what a Godesh looks like. Next time you go on a hayride in a barn, take a look and see where the rain comes through. Who's right? I have no idea. I couldn't care less. I don't know. So, Kol Ponim, we have Shittas Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam learned his pshat in Agamara. unlike Rashi. And Rabbeinu Tam, we're not sure exactly what Rabbeinu Tam said. The Taz had a chiddush with Rabbeinu Tam, and we show off this show from Taz the Beis, that's not true. Can we chisel away at Rabbeinu Tam even a little bit further? Even if Taz is right, that's a din deraisa. Are there certain parameters, certain scenarios where it may not even apply? So there's a Gemara a bit later on. So the Gemara talks about building a sukkah ma'uva, making a sukkah with very, very thick schach. So every little kid knows, kid walks into the sukkah, what's the first thing the kid looks up for the sky to see what? Okay, they see the stars around there. Ah, but I can't see the stars. The Mora said the sukkah is no good. So my immediate reaction is, go outside and look for the stars. You can't see the stars at Burgerfield. You know why? Because there's too much light and there's too much pollution. So you can never see the stars. But if there were stars, you'd be able to see them in my sukkah. Baruch Hashem, the sukkah is kosher. So guess what? We paskin that even if you can't see the stars, it's kosher. And the Gemara says, even if you can't even see the rays of sun, it's kosher. The schach's really packed on. Even the sunlight can't get in because the sukkah's still kosher. Even that's kosher. Comes the tour and says, that a sukkah mu'uv is kosher with very, very thick schach. That's if you can't see the stars. And that's if you can't, if you can't see the sunlight. But if it can't rain in, it's up the tour. No. How bad is that sukkah, Rabbi Isai? Says the tour. What? What does the tour say? That's really bad. And that's going to be possible even the halach, even the Beis Hillel. Why? Api hushita. Rabbi Natan. That's the Torah. It's poshut, right? So Rabbi Natan said it over the Rosh. His own father quotes Rabbi Natan in the Sukkot Gandach. Rabbi Natan is quoted in the Beis Menalf, not by name, but in Taisa Beis Menalf in Sukkot. So we know she's Rabbi Natan exists. So Mistam, we connected that. Sukkah Me'uva, Itakha, if it's so moved, it's so thick, the Itakha can't rain through, we have a very, very serious problem on our hands. L'chara, the Torah is right. But then the Torah throws in a disclaimer. What was the disclaimer of the Torah? Everyone saw the Torah in Mar Mekemes. What does the Torah say? The Torah is a startling statement. The Torah writes, for Ben Atam Posek and Simon Tafesh Lamanal, my father, my tata the Rosh, didn't quote Rabbeinu Tam. My father wasn't Mesiachis. The Torah I discovered it on my own. My father, my Rebbe Muvuk. I've been learning my father for 50 years. He never quote, doesn't quote Rabbeinu Tam in his psalm, in his shittas, in his far. Yachrenim Reibs, a pili plum in the Torah. His own father, the Rosh, was the one who quotes Rabbeinu Tam. On the Chesam Beis, in the Sugya, the Sukkos Ganvach. That's our Sugya. In the Rosh, in the second of the Maamar Kaimis. The Rosh was the one who quotes Rabbeinu Tam, Pirush HaSol Itzel, V'lom Uvel HaVim Namotor. He didn't quote it. Rabbeinu Tam was the one who told this to. The Rosh was the one who told us about Rabbeinu Tam. Taisa then the Beis doesn't even identify Rabbeinu Tam by name. The Rosh is the one who subscribes the Shita to Rabbeinu Tam. What do you mean the Torah says this? Even from his father. The Torah was the Talmud Muvik. He sat alone with his father for his entire life. He missed this Rosh. So there's Machloikis, the nice Kalim of the Torah. What the Torah was driving at with that line of Avi Adoni Lohevius Rabbeinu Tam. So the Beis Yosef says that the Torah did not mean anything dramatic with that statement. It wasn't even a halachic observation. It was a purely stylistic, textual observation that the Torah made that in the sugya of Sukkah Me'uva, the Rosh doesn't mention Rabbeinu Tam. Which would have been the right place to mention it. It would have been another good place to mention it because you have to draw our attention to the fact that don't make the sukkah too thick on top. So we would have almost expected the Rosh to reference Rabbeinu Tam there, and the Torah just is mentioning kind of in passing, my father didn't bother mentioning it. Does that imply that my father didn't think Rabbeinu Tam was right? No, Chalil B'chalil, the Torah never said that. How do I know for a fact that the Torah knew that the Rosh held the Rabbeinu Tam? Because he quotes Rabbeinu Tam where? Back in where? In the sugya of Ganvach and Daf Chesam Beis. So the Torah wasn't Malim Ayin from the Rosh and Daf Chesam Beis. He knew exactly what his father wrote. He sat with his father, Yom Vayilan, learning. He knew exactly what the Rosh held. He he just was making just almost like a tmiya on his father, that his father didn't mention it in a good place where it would have been necessary to reference it. Why didn't the Rosh do it? Mr. the Rosh figured out. You remember the Ches. Just because you're 10 blot later, how long does it take to learn 10 blot? A couple of days. You can't remember what you learned in Davches, but you get Davchav. So that's all the tournament. He didn't mean anything dramatic. He wasn't saying the Rush was wrong. He wasn't saying the Rush doesn't hold a minute down. He was just tumneya why the Rush left it out where it should have been mentioned. But the Bach says no. The Bach says the Tor was making a very real observation about his father's understanding of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam is not always saying what we thought he was saying. We thought, when we introduced Rabbeinu Tam, that Rabbeinu Tam is saying, is that din klali across the board, no ends of sin but, sukkah's got to be penetrated by the rain, can't build a sukkah otherwise. Nechti the says the Bach is not true. Not true. Sometimes, you can't build a sukkah when the rain can't get in. You know when? When you're building something that is not quite a sukkah to start with. This sukkah is already on a banana peel. It's already 1 foot out the door. Why? This sukkah was never really made as a sukkah in the first place. It was made as a what? What was the goal of this sukkah on Daf Ches Amud Beis? It was made as a ganvach. Nobody built this for sukkahs. It's good because you don't need lishma. But it was made for other reasons. Made by goyim, made for behemoth, made for the kusim, made for the women, made for other reasons. Nobody built this l'shem mitzvah sukkah. So now, it's almost got like two strikes against it. It was built not really for a sukkah, and guess what? It's raining, the rain can't get in. We have to declare that this is what? Not really a what? This is not a what? Not a sukkah. This is almost a violation of what klal? It's almost a 0 + 0 = 1 violation. Why? Because sukkah's ganvach is kosher. And you don't really have to make sure that it doesn't rain into the sukkah. That's okay if the rain can't come in. But Zuck the Bach, when you have both of these images together, this is very biased. This is not a sukkah. There's no characteristics of a sukkah whatsoever. There's a house. There's not a sukkah. And therefore the sukkah is possible. It could be Minat Torah. It's possible it's Minat Torah. But later on in the second parak, when we talk about a thick tzchach, you're talking about a fellow who's building a sukkah tzmoitzoy Yom Kippur. He's building, he still has his kittel on, he's building a sukkah l'shayim mitzvah, and he's gevaldik, and he's piling up the tzchach, and he's piling, it's a machra briska, he wants tzchach l'chol adeyes. He thinks that tzilsim u'michamsa means you have to have 99.999% of tzchach up there. He's piling up the tzchach, and it's so thick. He sits in the sukkah first night, and everybody else, it's pouring rain, and he's sitting, singing Rachman Yochim Lanu, his sukkah standing. His wife is so happy. Baruch Hashem, the chutanim, everyone's happy. So says the Tor, my father never quoted the Rabbi Tam to pass such a sukkah. You know why? Because the Rabbi Tam would never pass such a sukkah. There's nothing wrong with that sukkah. You know why there's nothing wrong with that sukkah? Because it's a sukkah. What do you mean it's a sukkah? So big spritz, no pun intended. It can't rain in, I didn't mean that. Can't rain in, so what? Since when is not being able to rain, not being able to have rain come in is a poisel? It's not a poisel. It's only a poisel in context. When the whole sukkah doesn't look like a sukkah, that's the problem. But just because you have one quirk, one characteristic that it's raining, it can't rain into the sukkah, that in itself is not a poisel. And therefore, Zok the Tor Bedas's father said you have to evaluate sukkah by sukkah and see that if this picture is not a sukkah, that's a problem. If this picture is fundamentally a sukkah, then it's okay. Now the Tor disagrees with his father because the Tor started out by saying that I think, says the Tor, that a sukkah me'uva, which can't rain in, is tach apostle according to Rabbeinu Tam. But I made them conceding that my father didn't learn pshat like that. So according to the Bach's way of reading, it comes out that there's a machlekes to Rosh and the Tor, father and son, as to what Rabbeinu Tam did or did not say. Did Rabbeinu Tam say that it's across the board, a sukkah that's penetrated by the rain, is puzzle finished, done, history? Is that pshat? Or, no, it's not really pshat that it's puzzle. It's puzzle when it gives off the wrong imagery. What's the nekudas machlekes? The Bach is right. What's the nekudas machlekes? It could be it's machlekes in love with the Araisa. What's the Nekusa Machlokes? What are they really arguing about? What is the deficiency of a sukkah that can't rain? Why is a sukkah that can't rain no good? What's the problem? Name that psul. Don't forget the Taz, who was the Bach's son-in-law, was so bothered at Rabbi Natam, he said, name that psul, there is no psul. It's a gzeir dobo, it's not a dindereis. But we don't want to take the Taz. We want to go like the Taisus and the Beis. It's a real psul dereis. So what's the psul? What's the psul? Tell me the name of the psul. Why can't a sukkah be kosher even though it can't rain in? Vishte, Pasuka Station was shown. Where did it say? So one approach would be maybe it's Keva. Which would put it right smack into the sugya in that vase, similar to the sugyas of Sukla Mal Michof, which would make depend on reading the Rabbanon. Which Rishon clearly learned that pshat? That the real psul, according to Rabbi Natam, is the dearest kevadik psul? Who said that? Who said that beferish? Forget the Ritva. The Ritva wasn't talking about rain. Taisus, which Taisus? The base why? Because Taisus is the kasha. We're telling you, here are the parameters, here are the guidelines of dearest keva. What guidelines declare that something is a dearest keva and what's not a dearest keva? Zaktaisus, Zaktarava, Ashir. It's never Bashir. Fractaisus, Abazoi, how come by the Schach you don't follow the Shir? So Taisus dances around and says, no, Schach is different. Schach, even Mamish Kev apostles, by Defanos, only the Shia apostles. Again, we don't understand why, but that's what Taisus said. So fundamentally, Taisus and Abaz is learning the equal of a coin to Benin Tam. Taisus holds it's Tari, no Taz is here. Taisus holds that a Sukkah that can't reign in is a Psul Deraisa. But it's rooted in Hilchas Diras Keva, and it may actually be subject to Machlokes. If it's in the Rabbanon, it's possible. Lidi Don, that we disqualify Sukkot as Diras Keva. Yehuda didn't, but we apostle Sukkot as Diras Keva. Too thick Schach is Diras Keva. And that's the root of the problem. If that's the problem, that it's the Diras Keva Shabai that disqualifies it, does the Rosh is Chilk, and is the Bach talking? Does the Rosh's chiluk of, well, it depends how bad it looks, make any sense? Anuch din. A sukkah above 20 arms is only possible to do a keva sometimes. Sometimes it's always possible. If dearest keva is a real paisel, what's the paisel? What's the mark of a dearest keva being paisel? What did Rashi say in the base? What's the mark of dearest keva apostles? Shivas yom v'lo yaser. So it's got to be a sukkah that meets the criteria of Shivas Yom V'lo Yosef. How do you know what's called Shivas Yom V'lo Yosef? Is it in the Shia? Is it in the Mitzchitzas? Is it in the Maya? Again, I have a Munus L'Chom in Taisus. So whatever your standards are to when this Gzeres HaKosov of Shivas Yom V'lo Yosef kicks in, but it's rooted in that Gzeres HaKosov, it's arbitrary to say sometimes yes, sometimes no. So that's L'Chora, what the Torah held. So the Torah said, if at the end of the day, V'das Rebbein Atam, if you really believe that ability of rain to come in is part and parcel of your definition of Diras Arav as Diras Keva, so then the inability of rain to come through is going to be an outright paisel across the board. I don't care whether it's a Sukkah Ganvach, I don't care whether it's a Sukkah Me'uva, inability to rain is a no-no in Ucha Sukkah. But the Rosh had a different understanding. What's the Rosh saying? Almost. What's the Rosh saying? What's the problem saying the Rosh? What's the problem with the Sukkah that rains? That doesn't rain? It's not a Shem Sukkah because it's too close to what? It's a bias. It's too biasy, not Sukkah. If it's a bias, if that's the posel, then they can begin to say, chisel away and say, wait a second. This is a bias. Come on, does is a bias. The guy built it, Lashai, mitzvah sukkah, he put up every piece of bamboo on Mitzvah Yom Kippur, does a bias. Who built the house on Mitzvah Yom Kippur? Who built the house, Lashai mitzvah sukkah, that's not bias. And therefore, according to the Bach, the Torah was willing to learn, but that's his father, he disagreed with his father. But Nitot Lehe Omer, that psul is not an object, not an absolute. You have to evaluate it case by case. On a level of deraisa, not there, but the Taz in his own world, the Rabbanans, we don't want to go down the road of the Taz. We like Taz, it's deraisa. But just because it's deraisa doesn't mean it's always a problem. So Rabbi Isai, we have multiple readings of this Rabbi Natan, multiple understandings of this Rabbi Natan. We know Rabbi Natan said something about inability to reign, but we have so many different possibilities. We have the Taz who says the whole thing is only Darban anyway, and therefore Chad Begadish is basically okay. We have Tosfos who says that it's Deraisa, but within Tosfos, we're not even sure. Is it a Deraisa based on Keva? Is Deraisa based on bias? And you can have Nafkamina, Ladina, Box way of understanding, it's a Nafkamina between the father and son. Now again, the Beis Yosef wasn't Gerus this whole thing. The Beis Yosef said there never was a Machlekes the Torah in the Rush, the Torah never meant he's arguing the Rush agreed that it's always possible. But this Shtikl Torah that was saying to maybe there was a Machlekes, maybe it's this Tekuva. Rabbi said this is all assuming, everything we're talking about is assuming that who's right? The Rabbi Natan's shot is correct. Where did Rabbi Natan get it from? He got his entire theory from two lines in the Gemara. One was on Daf Ches of Husha Suyin Letzel Sukkah, which he thought meant don't pile up this chach too thick. And where else did he get it from? There's only one other Gemara that supported Rabbi Natan. Is what? Titus Tabez. Do we have reason to believe that there are Rishonim who didn't accept Rabbi Natan like Gamre? Forget about chiseling away Rabbi Natan, reject Rabbi Natan outright. We have every reason to believe that there are great Rishonim out there who never heard of Rabbi Natan. You know who they were? His own grandfather, his own Zayde. Rashi never heard of this. How do I know Rashi never heard of it? Because of Daf Ches, Rashi gives you a totally different shot. And Rishon Tzul, let's say, El Sukkah, so Rabbi Natan's path doesn't even get off the ground. And where else do I believe that Rashi probably didn't buy into this whole Rabbi Natan? The Beis. What did Rashi say in the Beis? Rashi says, you can't passel a sukkah because it's keva. There's no way you can passel because it's keva. Neither the funnest nor schach. Why would Rashi set up an equation? Set up a subset. What was the subset of Rashi? Remember the Beis? Yesh b'chol masayim mana? Rashi said, when Rava said back to Abai, you can't disqualify Mechitza Shel Barzel because you cannot have a sukkah that's possible because it was made derech keva. That's an impossible statement. It's an illogical statement. You know why? Because licked in every keva is also an aroi. So you can't tell me that Mechitza Shel Barzel is no good and then turn around and say, but a half-baked sukkah made out of walls of straw is good. It can't be. Because every sukkah that's made out of strong walls is Dalmi Hach of the strong walls, it's also made out of weak things. So every sukkah is made out of weak things to start with. That's the starting point of the sukkah. You add it up, you thicked up the wall, so what? Hach da pasal, yesh b'chol basayim mana. So that svar of Rashi and Abayis applies also to what? That's Svar of Rashi, it's inconceivable to passel a sukkah because you piled on the walls too thick. Therefore, it's inconceivable to passel what? Schach, because you piled on the schach too thick. There's no way in the world you can passel schach because it's too thick, because dam yor yesh b'chol masana. Obviously, Tosfos didn't hold that way. Tosfos held that, no, when you pile on too thick, that's a problem. You know why that's a problem? Because now it's keva. Keva's a poisel. And you don't say Yesh B'chol Masayim, that's not a good svara, says Tosfos. But licked in the world of Rashi, that it's inconceivable, impossible logically to possible anything because it's too thick. Therefore, the whole sheet is Rabbi Natan falls by the wayside. I give out Keshrigin, there's a Gemara in the Tainus Nabeis. No, there's a Gemara in the Tainus Nabeis. Give out. The Gemara said Simon Klala. No, who remembers? So some Achareim said, Hachamayaskin, and a normal guy doesn't build a sukkah so thick. So when a guy walks in the sukkah, first out of sukkah, it's raining. Oh, yeah, I could have made the schach thick. You're right. Could have, should have, would have, but didn't. So for him, it's tachas simin klola. Oh, some Achareim, right? It's boina. He's stuck. First out of yontav. Good morning. So go. His wife screaming at him, Yanko, go ahead, more schach, so we can sit and eat the meal. Said, Rebetzin, the mechilas kvaydech, isn't this a boina yontav? So what does she respond? She's really holding and learning. What does she respond? She says, no, Yanko, you don't know. There's no Isabayinim in a Torah on Yontif. You know why? You're allowed to build houses on Yontif in a Torah. Why? Why are you allowed to build a house on Yontif in a Torah, says Tosfos. One day in Tosfos it says, you're allowed to build a house in a Torah on Yontif. You know why? Mitoich. Mitoich shehutra bona l'tzorech. Where's the tzorech? You're allowed to make cheese min haTorah on Yontif, lama lo? And making cheese magamin is chayv mishum boina. He talks shehutra boina l'shum mishum magabein. Hutra na mishum lo tzarech. The Torah says, "I, the Mishnah Beitza says you can't build houses on Yontif." Nah, it's all amid the rabbanon. So she's a real isha chachama. She's got the whole suit. She's got tzitzim down pat. So he screams back, "No, we don't hold that tzitzis." Peshua says, "That's not right. That tzitzis." So Rabbi said, whatever the answer is, the bottom line is it's a siman klala, even though the sukkah is ksheira min haTorah, it's ksheira min rabbanon, it's still a siman klala. Well, because he didn't build the sukkah, he can't build the sukkah. The siman klala is lamal v'lemer, the whole tais is lamal v'lemer. So when all the dust settles, Rabbi said, we have this gevald geshitas Rabbeinu Tam. We have three possibilities what Rabbeinu Tam said. Either it's only the rabbanon, or it's derais al tkeva, derais al tbayis. And then we have a fourth possibility, Rashi, who probably didn't buy into the whole Rabbeinu Tam, hakol mikol kol, lock, stock, and down. Rabbi say, this is all the whole Rabbeinu Tam is assuming that that's what the Gemara meant when it said, Husha Sol Etzel Sukkah. Comes the Ritva and says, neither Pshat is correct. Neither Rashi nor Rabbeinu Tam. A whole different Pshat in the Gemara. What does Husha Sol Etzel Sukkah mean? Says the Ritva, unlike Rashi, the emphasis is really on the word Tzel in contrast to Tzniyas. Says Ritva, the real emphasis in the sukkah is on what word? Sukkah in contrast to what? To bias. Ritva says what the Gemara is really saying is you got to be very, very weary with these sukkahs over here. Because these sukkahs may have been made for long-term use. For yearly use. A sukkah is not supposed to be your house. They have all these advertisements. You know these fancy schmancy sukkahs. Sit in the comfort of your own house. You just sit there and just, you know, pull up the wall, you pull up the ceiling a little bit, no tassel, and also a lot of lumdus. The guy's sitting in his dining room and he's got a doifin akuma with a disc, but he got a no tassel, and also he's might be sitting in his dining room and they advertise this is gevaldik, this is beautiful, this is what the mitzvah is supposed to be. I didn't say the sukkah's possible. But that's not what the sukkah is supposed to be. It's supposed to be good and cold, not too cold. It's supposed to be going out of the outside. It's time to connect to nature. I said, what kind of quince is that? Where's the Lamayim Yedid Derasechem? You blew it. The whole thing you blew. Live in the comfort of your own home on Sukkot. Shayim Shemayim, no. It's possible. You can do it if you want. Teshuva can do it. It's very machma Teshuva can do it. The ads are very machma Teshuva can do it. So the next page of the ad is for the Pesach program. That's also. Celebrate Pesach in Zman Chiruseinu, in the fullest sense of the word. Zman in Egypt, Zman Chiruseinu. Einucha ben chayin loyishik b'toira. They should advertise no 24/7 tea room, 24/7 base medrash. Then we can negotiate. So come on. And then next, on the next page is always the same thing. They don't even realize they're on the same page advertising the Pesach program in the Alps. On the opposite page, for an advertiser for Temche Shabbos to please Nebuch for the people who can't afford to put matzah there. And nobody ever realized how inappropriate the two pages are next to each other. Every year the same thing. I said, take the Pesach program and put all the money and buy people Nebuch who can't put food in the tent. And Shalom, I swear, solve the whole world. There's already many, many, many people have made this ha'ara that all you have to do is 1 year taking all the money, the revenue from all the Pesach programs, you can solve the tuition crisis in Klai Yisrael for the next 10 years. Well, anyway, who's going to take this? Okay, Vaisai, getting back to that story. So, Kumta Ritvon says, a sukkah is not supposed to be a dira shel kol hashana, it's supposed to be for a week. If you built the sukkah, kedah sukhadin, it's still going to be yakev, adefin, akumas, with love, and everything. But at the end of the day, it was built for the whole year use. I didn't say those sukkahs are built that way. They're not, because you take down the roof and the schach is only there for you. If you keep the schachach, the whole year would be a problem. But so it's up to Ritva, a sukkah that's made for a whole year use, that's a problem. And that's what the Gemara means. Husha sol etzel sukkah. According to Rashi, husha sol etzel. According to Ritva, husha sol etzel sukkah. That'll be a sukkah, not a bayis. Because there's a new psul called building a sukkah that's going to be used for an entire year of usage, of dira, that is not a sukkah. That's a bias, that's not a sukkah. Ulu mikneu asa sukkahs. Even though bias, we can also, this is nishkein sukkah. But then the Ritva throws a curveball at us in his presentation of the sugya. Ritva writes,
Tahanochon. Dahoki Kama. Ubavachate asula tsel bulvav aloy asula dira. Why dim kain? Oy, 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 oy. Havale keva. And what's the source for this new ritva? We never heard of this ritva till now. What's the source that you can't make a sukkah for year long use? Because im kain havale keva. When you see those words havale keva, you start to shake and shudder and you start to think the ritva is taking us back to tabez again. This depends on dira, sukkah, dira, keva, dira, sarai. Maybe the source for this ritva is shivas yom velo yoyser. That's what the ritva means. And if that's what he means, so then his din is dependent upon the machlekes atanoim. Is that what he meant with that line? Havale keva? That's what it sounds like. And binyan keva, we know, we see keva, we see red, we see bezim and aleph. Do we have reason to believe that the Ritva was limiting this chiddush of his, in a sense, limiting Rav Chisda to half the Tanoim? So, probably not correct. It's probably not the imagery that the Ritva meant, but we have to get a little bit of a better, hopefully a little bit of a better reading of this Ritva in light of some other comments that Ritva makes around the same daf, in the Chesem Abeis, and previously the sugars that we skipped. Hope Nechem on Sunday will pick up with this Ritva and try to weigh the pros and cons of this Ritva and see how the other Rishonim read into the sugya, whether they accept the Ritva, disagree with the Ritva. So we have a lot of work to do in the Ritva Strat. So today we saw Rashi Strat, we saw Rabbeinu Tam Strat. Hope Nechem on Sunday will see you. Sunday we have regular Shira, regular time?
Sunday.
What? Owns around? Whoever's around is around. Okay. Good. Okay.
Okay, maybe we're done now, right? No?